Bulletin Fupi on Kaya 959 on the street, on the air.
23 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, if I asked you when you think of some companies like Mediclinic, Distel, and perhaps even the likes of Grindrod Limited, what comes to mind? Well, many of you would be aware that they are owned, partially owned, by Remgro Limited, which is a diversified investment holding company listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Now, the entity published its financial results today, and they have a wide spread of investments that they have. RMI, KTH, Grindrod, as mentioned, DFA, a large number of entities that they own a stake in. And these really just speak to the investment focus, diversified, very broad-reaching in terms of its focus in South Africa and across the continent. And of course, some assets they've actually been looking to increase their holding in, and others pulling back slightly. But to give us some perspective and analysis of their earnings today, we join on the line by Pietri Redlinghuis, who is the founder of Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietri, always good to touch base with you.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to speak to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it definitely has. Well, we're talking numbers today, specifically out of Remgro, and I think we do need to put things into context before we deep dive into their earnings. Just Remgro, I guess, in terms of its history, you know, one cannot discount the role and function of the Ruperts having established this particular business and the legacy, really, that they have within the South African business community and investment landscape. Give us some context and perspective there before we talk about their earnings.
Well, I mean, they, as you mentioned in your intro, are a very diversified investment holdings company that holds some really premier investments in the South African landscape. I mean, they're in banks, they're in medicine, well, in the hospitals group at least. They're RCL Foods, so that's the chicken industry. They're also, you know, I guess have international investors part of their group as well. They're now, you know, as mentioned in their results that was released today, they're, for example, going to be buying out Mediclinic, essentially, with the help of MSCI Shipping Company, of all people, as a strategic partnership where MSCI and Remgro will be 50% owners of Mediclinic International, which is interesting, I guess. So they are, you know, just as, I guess, a really diversified opposition group that managed to do, you know, really well. Essentially, all of the business units that they have, or the investments that they have, performed really well. Some of them, obviously, you know, are directly listed on the JSE. And all of those companies turned profitability to sort of pre-pandemic levels. So we're looking at 2019 profitability numbers, and that's great. I mean, NAV up of about 100 to 20%, I think, to about 177 rand a share. Currently, the share traded, well, closed at about 138, call it 139 just to round up. So it's still deeply undervalued. And, you know, that's going really well. Dividends also up from 60 cents to 1 rand. So shareholders very happy. I mean, the share price traded up some 7.5% today.
Right.
And I think it's encouraging to see that, you know, it's another piece of evidence that we have a recovering economy post the pandemic era.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what we all investors have been looking for, that return to recovery. And of course, that in terms of the numbers performance. Before we take a look at some acquisitions that they might make or holdings that they're looking to keep within the portfolio, Grindrod, help us unpack why they've had to defend this particular sell-off and unbundling of this investment.
Well, essentially what we've started seeing is a bit of a trend amongst these investment holdings on the JSE, where, you know, shareholders are somewhat grumbly that the investment holding companies are trading at such big discounts to their to some of the parts that make them up. So we've seen PSG basically do it, Rand Merchant Investment Holdings also essentially packing up shops, selling all their non-core things and almost a pure play, you know, listing on Outsurance now. So they're kind of making these moves to unlock value for shareholders. I don't think they'll do much more than you know, unpack the companies that they, than the investments that they already have, or, you know, unbundle them as such. But I do think that, you know, they're very mindful of shareholders buy their shares looking to get access into some of the premier companies in their portfolios. And sometimes, you know, it can be a bit frustrating as you buying these companies in an investment vehicle, and that investment vehicle is undervalued compared to its net asset value. So I expect that they will probably continue to do things that they believe will unlock that value and return that value to shareholders.
Yeah, which is quite critical, right? It's exactly what investors are looking for. And I'm keen to get your thoughts as well in terms of CIVH. It almost seems as though it's the jewel in the crown at the moment, seeing at least a return to profitability. Let's unpack that particular investment, because there's Vumatel, Dark Fiber Africa, but essentially their partnership with Vodacom really looking to unlock more potential for Wi-Fi and data access across the continent and country.
Yeah, this is a very exciting kind of space, right? I mean, the telecommunications and, you know, let's call it fintech-type investments that people are making, where we can see, for example, the likes of Vodacom, MTN, all these big telcos, they're starting to blur the lines between banking services and telecommunication services. So what, you know, telephone companies have, essentially, that banks don't, is distribution, access to millions and millions and millions of people. And so what banks have is financial services. And we know that all these millions of people that are out there, majority of them are unbanked. So these sort of tech-orientated telco connectivity-type investments, I think, all feed into building that ecosystem. Because, you know, one of the other investments that that Remgro has is, in fact, you know, FirstRand, so banking, financial services.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts to build this picture where you start seeing that banks and telecommunication companies are starting to blur the lines, where banks are moving into telecoms companies are moving into financial services, because the two essentially go hand in hand. I mean, if you look at the African continent, there are, you know, hundreds of millions of people that are unbanked. However, they all have a cell phone in their hand. So if you can get them to be able to get access into the financial market ecosystem, or even just the finance ecosystem, where they can get access to financial services, be able to save, be able to get insurance products for or funeral benefits, or you know, some sort of a retirement saving, or just the ability to send money from one country to the next, or from one town to the next. That is really where there's an enormous opportunity. And, you know, companies are wising up to that and are concentrating investments in those areas where they think those opportunities exist.
Definitely. I think let's talk about this further, especially for the retail investor in South Africa, right? Because as you say, we have the option to either invest directly in some of these investment companies or move into the investment holding companies. And I'm keen to understand, as a South African who might say, well, I see Distell, they're in talks with Heineken, I see a few other of the stakeholders or players within Mediclinic. Does it still make for a bigger part of, not Mediclinic, some of the likes of RMI and FirstRand, and even others that are not listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange? How would you position Remgro? Is it still one, I guess, that's favorable in terms of buying and holding?
Absolutely. I think it is a stock that's probably deserving of a spot for most long-term equity portfolios. You know, it's a very diversified group that you always have sort of call option on the value unlocked, right? There's always this possibility that at some point they might decide to unbundle something and then you might, you know, get a huge amount of value. I mean, if you look at what it's worth, trading at 139 essentially, and it's worth 177, so you know that there's this upside that's essentially always the potential to unlock. Now, that's not guaranteed that it's going to, and, you know, investing in things based on hope isn't necessarily a strategy. But if you can sort of learn from the investment process that companies like Remgro employ, why they choose the investments that they make, and how they don't necessarily even chop and change their investments very regularly. They make investments and lock long-term commitments to companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they offer a large amount of value for you know, strong dividend payers. The volatility on these holding companies is generally somewhat less. You've got this potential for a call option where if there's an unbundling, there's a massive value unlock. And, you know, there's a huge amount to learn from how they choose their investments. So I think there's a lot of value in being invested in a company like them.
Got you. And I guess the question that we've always put to Remgro is asking them if they might follow a similar move, right, to the likes of PSG, where they just unbundle everything. And
yeah, I don't know whether or not they will. I think that they, I mean, we can always hope that they do, but I think that they are quite happily positioned in the things that they are in. I don't think that they have any sort of immediate intentions to unbundle any of the investments that they have. Look, I mean, they're not without challenges, right? I mean, they do also have investments in RCL Foods, which, mm-hmm. as we know, makes essentially a huge amount of chicken, right? And there's some margin pressures on that and input cost inflation. And, you know, there's a bit of risk, I guess, on the table with international chicken coming in, you know, Brazilian chicken being imported and dumped in South African market. And that's potentially a challenge to them, which could weigh down, you know, their share price compared to the rest of the components. You know, if you remove that, then maybe it's a bit of a rosier picture. But even so, you know, it's a robust defensive portfolio. Whether or not they'll, you know, at some stage, I guess, get frustrated enough with RCL Foods to let it go, I mean, I don't think so. I think that they see the bigger picture here and they play the long game and they're more likely to, I guess, give life support to their investments than what they are to cut them off.
Very true.
If that makes sense.
Pietri, appreciate your time this evening and, of course, guiding us through the technical stuff and the numbers, but also, I guess, just some of the practicalities that we as retail investors tend to relate to. Really appreciate your perspective on Remgro today following their results and update and a presentation. Thanks again.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's Pietri Redlinghuis from Herenia Capital Advisors updating us on Remgro's performance there. Give it a look and tell me what you think. But essentially, that share price also having closed off a lot firmer today. Last I checked, back on the, let's tell you, major moves up by 6.3% at the close of the market. So telling you something that the markets are quite happy with their performance.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.